This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am Chris Brown. I am your host, and we're honored that you're tuning in today. This is a call-in show where you call in, let us know about your stewardship situations, the things going on in your life, whether it be finances or relationships or leadership, or just how you're trying to manage this life God's way and for His glory. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. You can also reach out on social media at Chris Brown On Air. Again, that phone number is 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, today, I will warn you, I'm feeling a little bit like giving some stuff away. So we'll be giving some stuff away today on the show, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. And you know what? I wanted to tell you about this article that I read recently, and it's an article from Newsmax.com, and it talks all about how the levels of borrowing, this is going to be depressing for some of you that are faithful listeners, the rate of borrowing is going up, not down. I know we like to focus a lot on positive news on this broadcast, not negative news, but folks, people are borrowing more and more money. Consumers increased their borrowing in the month of May with the use of credit cards in the category that covers student and auto loans, this article says. The Federal Reserve reported Friday that total borrowing increased, and this article came out when it references Friday. This article came out on July 8th. The Federal Reserve reported Friday that total borrowing increased by $18.6 billion in the month of May, up from a gain of $13.4 billion in April, and it was the largest since a surge of $29.4 billion in March. Crazy. Borrowing in the auto and the student loan category climbed $16.2 billion. Borrowing in the category that covered credit cards rose $2.4 billion. The May gain pushed total consumer credit to a record $3.62 trillion. And they do make a little note in here that the Fed's monthly report on consumer borrowing does not cover home mortgages or any other loans secured by real estate, such as equity loans. Folks, do not be a part of these stats. As a listener of this broadcast, please, please do not be a part of these stats. Proverbs 22:7 is still alive today. It's still applicable to our lives today. It's something that God wants for us. Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender. And Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. Folks, Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Here we are as a country. We've already forgotten about 2005, 2006, 2007, when we went out and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and it came back and bit us. Here we are again. Think about how disgusting that verse is. A dog returning to its vomit. Just think about that. Play that out in your mind. The vomit happens. Walk away, return back. You've seen a dog do that before. It's absolutely disgusting. Let's not be a part of that research. God, we ask you right now that you would help us. Help us leave this legacy that we want to leave so bad. I pray, God, that those who are listening in on this show. Here we are. We're on a Friday. We've got the weekend coming up. There's going to be some times of sitting there idle. There's going to be a temptation to go do something that we can't afford. I pray, God, that you would give us the eternal mindset to not only engage in some recreation that is within our plan, but also to think long term, think about what our family needs in the short term, in the midterm, and the long term. We want to leave a legacy, God. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home, but you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
We are ready for your phone calls, 866-357-3283. And this first call is coming in from my old stopping grounds, Coral Springs, Florida. This is Helena. Helena, how are you doing?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm actually going to be down your way pretty soon in a couple weeks. I'll be down in Coral Springs area for about 4 days on Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Bring your shorts.
There you go. How can I help you?
Great. Well, first, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
My husband and I own a small business together, and over the last few years, we've accumulated a significant amount of debt in the business. We also have a little bit of personal debt. It's very minimal on the personal side. Mm-hmm. We just started using the EveryDollar.com program for our personal. So I actually have two quick questions. The first one is it a good idea to use a separate EveryDollar.com account for the business? And the second question would be, what would you suggest the best way to eliminate the business debt versus the personal debt?
Yeah, well, step one is to definitely separate. So yes, I would agree that that'd be a good decision. You can measure success, the most advantageous, I guess not advantageous, the most effective way is what I'm looking for, when they're separated. When they're kind of all intermixed, it's kind of like, is the business winning? Are we winning personally? It's kind of hard to gauge where the business ends and where personal ends and where each one starts. So yes, I would keep it separated. And, the same way that you're using every dollar for your personal, you can just set up categories for where your revenue is going to be allocated, just like you do on the personal side, you can do on the business side. Zig Ziglar says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And you've got to aim every single dollar where it's going to go. And that same principle applies not only on the personal side, but also on the business side. John Maxwell says, a budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went. And so just take that principle of, and then, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You've got to have a vision for where that money is going and where the business is going and where your personal life is going. So separating those is very advantageous. So that's what I would do on those, on that situation. And I want to actually help you out with that. I want to give you a free book. It's called Entree Leadership. And it's our leadership book on how to navigate. It's got a section in there on how to navigate finances when it comes to personal and it comes to the business. So I want to give that to you. So you stay on the line and we'll throw it your way, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Got an email here from Kay. It says, hey, Chris, I'm the mother of two adult children and am having problem getting through to them. How important it is to save now and be prepared for the future? My daughter is 23 and married to a guy who spends like there is no tomorrow, all caps. And my son is 18, starting college in the fall, and lives for the moment. He still lives with us. Help, please, all caps, exclamation points. Well, Kay, for the 23-year-old, you really don't have any voice in his life anymore. So I guess you're going to have to kind of go discreet on this, a little bit undercover. And so what you'd want to do is you want to subtly explain what you're doing in your life. And that will model this for him, what's winning in your life, and that'll help. Another tactic might be to maybe bribe him to come to one of our events. I'm not sure where you're emailing in from, but one of our events, or maybe go to a class, and it might be worth it for you to spend a $50 or $100 to invest into them so that they can make better decisions. That $50 investment or $20 investment in a book, or some kind of bribe, could end up meaning hundreds of thousands of dollars in your daughter's life over the next decade or so. So just an idea. Those are two things. Model it, and then maybe get him to a class or an event. For your 18-year-old who's still living at home, which is a very key point, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Just know that your son, he's normal. And what we teach is absolutely bizarre to this world. It's totally weird. So don't think that your child is weird. No, it's that he's actually acting just like the world is. He's short-sighted. He's living for the moment. Just do it, right? So what you want to do is you want to use what he cares about, not what you care about. You're helping him to get what he wants, not getting him to do what you want. So what are some of those 3-year goals that he has? What are those 5-year goals? What are those 10-year goals that he has in his world, and help him reach those goals? And by doing so, you're going to get him down to a budget, which is what you wanted to do. That's what you want to get him down to, a plan to reach his goals, not yours. And the best carrot on that is to use what he's going after. So you want to help him to see that he can actually get what he wants now and what he wants later if he puts together a plan. And then, okay, if he doesn't play along, he pays you rent that you save for him and maybe surprise him later. And then there's a lesson learned with a reward. I wish many of my lessons were learned that way, with a reward. Unfortunately, I learned the best the hard way, but that'd be kind of cool to surprise him later on. But remember, you are not trying to get him to do the right behavior, but have the right perspective. You'll see much more long-term success talking about God's ownership and our management than you will telling him to have a spending plan. It's deeper than that. So really approach the spiritual side of this, that God is the owner, he's the manager, and ask him, how well do you think you're managing God's resources? And that will be very convicting and much more powerful than just telling him, hey, you need to live on a budget and save. Well, folks, this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us his way and for his glory. God expects that we manage with intentionality. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, we all have great intentions for how we save, spend, give money. But without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. Hey, remember that this weekend, okay? It's way too easy to be unwise stewards. That's why I'm such a big fan of Dave Ramsey. He's created a simple plan for us to destroy debt, to do budgeting the right way, and to build wealth. And Dave has helped millions of people learn the dangers of debt and the freedom that you can experience when you do this, when you biblically save, and biblically spend, and biblically give wisely. If you're ready to learn these principles, head over to stewardship.com today. Check out Dave's best-selling book and audiobook, The Total Money Makeover. His lessons on budgeting, debt, savings, and 1 month free of our budgeting software, the Every Dollar Plus. Find the number one way to beat debt with the Take Control Bundle for just $14.99 today. Only, today only, go to stewardship.com and click on store.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283.
That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris.
And next on the line from North Dakota is Jenna. Jenna, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I love your show. After our debt is dealt with, our retirement savings will have a special stewardship contribution aside from our RIQ, so we can be crazy generous in our older years, spending every day delighting the Lord.
I love it. Not older years, yes. More mature, more experienced.
Sure. So I have kind of a tricky question. My husband was self-employed in the oil industry for a few years until it went south. He was earning nearly $100K per year, and his contract didn't renew in December, and he's remained unemployed since then, with the exception of filling in here and there for self-employed friends. I've been self-employed for 7 years and earn about $72,000 per year. Because I earn a comfortable enough living, he hasn't really felt any pressure to jump back into the workforce. Mm-hmm. So, but there's still work in the oil field here. He just seems to be really picky about all the available ones and kind of giving excuses about this friend or that friend needing its help. This makes budgeting really hard for me, and I'm working insane hours to keep up and with raising our three boys and maintaining the house. He's a hard worker and a good help at home, but he doesn't belong in my role. And I don't know how to respectfully have a conversation that doesn't turn ugly due to his defensiveness. I want to honor God in dealing with my husband, but softness and amenability isn't getting me very far. Any thoughts?
So you're convinced that it's not laziness?
No, he's not lazy. He's just the most awesome hard worker. And when he was self-employed, he was getting up at like 5 a.m. to go to work. He would go in an hour early just to get a jump start and then, you know, come home exhausted, shower, feel a little better, and then play with the boys and maybe help with dishes or laundry. I mean, it can't possibly be laziness. I don't know if I've made it too easy.
Yeah. Well, he's not feeling a whole lot of weight. Is there any signs that he's showing anywhere else in his life that would lead you to believe there's some kind of major lack of motivation overall, or lack of happiness, or maybe lack of healthiness?
I can't really wrap my head around it. I mean, when he got laid off, I took on way more clients to kind of bridge the gap. I'm on track to 72. So I went nuts and upped our income. And then we got all crazy with the Dave Ramsey situation in like December. So we sold a bunch of stuff and we've paid off like $22,000 worth of debt since December.
Good job.
But I would like to keep paying off debt, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pull a Dave and be like, Bubba, you need to get a job. This is what it goes.
Yeah. So. you're so funny. Well, here's the deal. I think the first step is you got to understand find the why. And it doesn't sound like there's a why with him internally. So now where my mind goes is there something wrong with either A, the industry, or B, the dynamics of the opportunities that he's received. And I would sit down with him and I would explore options of, hey, how can we think outside the box? Mm-hmm. Let's not take anything off of the board. Let's throw out ideas on the whiteboard on ways where we can hit our goals. If you lead out with our goals versus money received, that's a lot more motivating. So it's, where are we headed? How do we get there? And use the things that he enjoys. You know, what are the things he wants? And and you know, if he gets, you know, if he's going to be, financially speaking, if he's going to be getting what he wants, obviously you both are going to be getting. So don't worry about yours. Worry about, hey, how do we get that? How do that fishing trip to Alaska for 5 days or whatever it may be? How do we make sure that happens? And so the biggest thing that I learned from Dr. Les Parrott, who's been on this show, who's a good friend of mine. He speaks at our SMART conferences. He is like the marriage wizard. He says the most powerful thing. One time we're at a backstage experience and someone pinned him down to his best advice at all for marriage. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to totally listen. And he said the word empathy. He said, empathy is the answer to primarily all of my books. If you can put yourself in their shoes, if you can feel what they feel. And I thought about 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. And this next phrase is awesome. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. And so, Jenna, for me, I agree. I wouldn't go in there and say, Bubba, you need to get a job, because it doesn't sound like there's laziness involved. But I think what you want to do is, from two different angles, you want to partner with him to find his best fit. At the same time, speak life into him. Call out how good of a provider he is, not that he isn't. A lot of times for guys, we will respond more when we're respected more. We'll respond more to positive reinforcement before we will be negative reinforcement, because we internalize that as disrespect. And then our egos get involved and we just shut off. And next thing you know, we're in the backyard doing yard work all the time. So,
And I mean, I've kind of noticed, I've been fighting it really hard, because it's just kind of been an attack about not getting bitter at him for not feeling any empathy toward me, because he can see how drained I am all the time.
Yeah.
Pulling all of the weight, and he can see me coming home. And I run a cleaning service, so I'm cleaning like 15 hours, So, and then I'm exhausted, and then I'm trying to start supper, and it's just, it really hurts my feelings, kind of, that he doesn't really seem to have a problem with seeing me work this hard without really getting serious about picking up the slack.
No, I'm sure. And that wrestle is probably very, very real. I wonder if one day that he could come with you at work, just, and from the standpoint of not necessarily helping me, just be us being together. Hey, let's spend some time together today. Come with me to work. And I think maybe if he saw it in action, there could be some conviction that happens without you even have to say anything. But it could be something like, hey, let's have lunch together. Hey, come with me, clean these couple houses with me. And just, he doesn't have to maybe help that much, or maybe he can just be around. But I know that would work with me if my wife asked me to do that and I saw it in action. I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not having this. So that's kind of the way it would work with me. So maybe that'll help with you. I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jenna, as you're digging in and you're finding out, okay, what is it? If there's some kind of fear of failure for him, you know, there's some kind of fear of failure with the industry or something like that. I just recently wrote an article. It's at stewardship.com, and I would love for you or him to check it out. It's called, Is the Fear of Failure Hurting Your Career? And I think it'd be a good thing for you to just to look into, and it could kind of fuel some really good conversations. So make sure you check that out. And Jenna, we really, really appreciate the call.
Sure. Thank you so much, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Got an email here from Laura. She says, I have been running a small business for the past 3 years, only full-time for the last year or so. I'm having a hard time knowing when to keep Sunday as a rest day and when to work. You talk often about working really hard for a season with the small business, that launch season. I fluctuate between keeping Sunday as a rest day and doing some work. Do you have any advice? I want to honor the Lord, and I know that He is the only reason the business is here to begin with, not my business abilities. Well, that's a great place to start. It's a good realization, Laura. I really think I can help you out with this. You know, foundationally, we have to understand this whole concept of Sabbath or rest is for us, not something God wants from us. He knows if we rest for a day, we will be better off, and so will our business. Where there is no margin, there is no impact. You got to have some margin in your life. You'll never catch what you're chasing with those extra 8 hours. I promise you, you won't. I love that Chick-fil-A and other organizations model this for us by taking this day off. You know, it has so much less to do with Sunday as that actual day than it has to really do with this first fruits idea. The Sabbath idea really is tithing time. Instead of tithing money, it's the tithe on time. It's acknowledging that God is the owner of all the time, not us, but God's the owner. It's acknowledging that He brings the increase, not us. And by resting and focusing in on Him, you're doing it His way. And the last time I checked, folks, that's a plan that's pretty wise to get involved with. However, I will say this. Do not take a Sabbath, folks, out of legalism, and then fill your day with a bunch of mindless activity if you aren't actually resting and aren't actually focusing in on and getting to know God more. Whatever day you choose is the first of your week, do it all in the name of God. This doesn't mean going to church for an hour. That's not what I'm talking about. All it means is you've got to make sure that you are engaged in Christ that day. Doesn't mean like from sunup to sundown, you don't think about anything else. But a lot of us, if we're just going to church and we're calling that our Sabbath, folks, we're missing out. We're leaving a lot on the table. God wants more for us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 tells us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, folks, it's for us, not something he needs from us. Don't forget, friends, you can get started learning Dave Ramsey's principles for getting out of debt and budgeting with the Take Control Bundle for just $14.99 today only at stewardship.com by clicking on store. God bless you.